The long and winding roads to the top, that is. It's me, your old pal, Cowboy Kevin, joined with my chief brand officer, Joe Graham.
Hello.
And we have both decided that we are leaving How To Wrestling and pursuing other endeavors, and to be determined what those endeavors will be. Joe, it's our favorite wrestling power couple, formerly of AEW, currently where we are, March 2022. What's going on with these crazy kids, Cody and Brandy?
We just don't know.
We simply don't know. And we don't know so much that in the past month, we've decided that we're going to do this series and also have been waiting for an opportune moment, which feels like it'll never come at this point. So if you're listening to the future where Cody Rhodes is main eventing WrestleMania, we can look back at us foolish idiots who didn't realise that it was going to happen any moment now. And Joe, Cody Rhodes, I know that the internet turned against him, it felt like, in the summer of 2020. But you had an axe to grind with a young Cody for quite some time, it always felt like.
I just never liked his attitude towards Stardust.
Is that chiefly your issue with him over the years?
Yeah. I just think it makes me think less of him that he doesn't see how good a gimmick that was.
Okay.
Like, it's one thing for him to not like it for himself, but, like, he said it was, like, a bad gimmick and he's made fun of it and stuff, and it's not. It's a really good gimmick, and it's one of the ones that, like, for me as a new wrestling fan, it really got me into it.
Yeah, and it helped you get in the door.
I just find it somewhat insulting for him to be so dismissive of it as a gimmick.
I think I should point out as well, if you go back and listen to some of our earlier AEW pay-per-views, there was a bit of disdain in your voice that I think went beyond simply him not appreciating the intergalactic gimmick.
I'm saying that's how it started.
That's how it started, but like in AEW, I know that I think what the fans, and I'm assuming this series will get into a little bit, the reasons why the fans maybe changed their minds on Cody or started, you know, peppering his appearances with a lot more boos. I felt that, like, you kind of, almost from the first pay-per-view, the presentation of Cody in the company wasn't something that you were particularly on board with.
No, because he would come out to these, like, choirs of angels and do a 10-minute entrance for some reason, and then he'd, like, destroy a throne with a sledgehammer, and it was just so Triple H. I don't really like Triple H anyway, so seeing, like, a knockoff Triple H was not particularly pleasing to
Cody
me.
Said in an interview right before he left AEW, not that long back, where he was like, oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but honestly, one of my favorite people of all time in the business is Triple H. I just find him fascinating, like, everything, not just him as a wrestler, but him as an executive and a person in the wrestling world. So all that very, very interesting. One question I did want to ask you, obviously, before we went into this, because I don't think I ever actually have really asked you straight up about it, because obviously since we started AEW, we did episodes on Cody's other family members in the wrestling business, American Dream Dusty Rhodes and the artist formerly known as Goldust Dustin Rhodes. They call him a natural, I hear. Did learning more about his family, did that help your kind of understanding of Cody, or did that kind of change your viewing on him really at all?
Not really. I think it more solidified what I already thought about him, which was that I understood that his family lineage kind of gave him a lot of confidence, I guess, like a lot of I'm important, a lot of protagonist syndrome.
I think the further we go in Cody Rhodes' career, the more, I'm not saying like, oh, he's just like his dad, but you can tell there are times where he is definitely like intentionally trying to emulate his father, and not just like in the ring or anything, like just what he thinks his ethos was. And then there are times where it feels like Cody Rhodes is like possessed by the spirit of the American Dream, and unbeknownst to him makes these decisions or does these things that kind of fall into the category of somewhere between egotism and genius for some people, and just straight up egotism for others, I think. Roads to the Top, we have finally found a copy of it to watch from the perfectly legal online DVD store, and I was always very excited anytime you're going to give me wrestling reality show. I think we've had good form in the past with wrestling and reality shows.
Yeah.
They work well together. AEW, though, being the kind of the spot to do a reality show, I mean, this made me very excited, mainly because I feel like I've not seen a lot of behind the scenes in AEW, other than in Being the Elite.
Yes. No, it's always interesting, and I think we were both hoping to see a bit of the kind of behind the scenes of AEW, in a way that you get to see in WWE more so.
Yeah, it felt less constructed, a lot of it, you know, in that every single tiny meeting or people chatting on screen together didn't feel like it had been set up by a producer.
Mm.
But it did obviously still have all the hallmarks of a classic reality show. This was staged as fuck. I do enjoy watching this, though, with the lens of kind of seeing, well, what is it that Cody and Brandy were doing in AEW? And also, more importantly, will it be missed now that they're gone?
Mm.
Could you tell from the episode that we watched, like, generally speaking, what the roles and responsibilities of Cody and Brandy are, other than being, you know, wrestlers on the show?
It seems a bit diffuse, kind of, what they do. Like, Brandy's official title is Chief Brand Officer.
And,
so,
and head of PR as well, I think.
Right, which is the same as Stephanie McMahon in WWE.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Is that on purpose, I wonder?
What do you mean?
As in, like, kind of, like, you know, Cody trying to have, like, a direct analogue. We're the executive power couple. You know, like, that executive power couple.
I mean, it could well be. But the thing is like, we didn't see anything in this episode of... Like, we see Brandy working her ass off all throughout this episode.
She's working seriously.
Constantly. And it seems like she's working 4 or 5 jobs. But none of those jobs seem to be what a chief brand officer should actually be doing.
I mean, now that you've told me that's what Stephanie's job is, and I think of all the things that I saw Brandy do, and again, there's no shortage of things that Brandy is doing. She looks fucking exhausted, and rightly so, throughout this. She's also heavily pregnant, we should point out, as well, during
heavily
this,
pregnant.
And being an executive and wanting to be a wrestler and all that. But I did find myself now thinking, there's a lot of times she was doing stuff, and I go, Stephanie McMahon wouldn't be doing that.
Exactly. But... on the other hand, I kind of feel the stuff that she was doing that didn't really come under the chief brand officer umbrella, she was really good at. Like, what she was doing in this episode was a lot more of, like, talent relations, kind of the stuff that Jim Ross would have done back in the day, of, like, settling disputes between talent and, like, organizing things and making people look a certain way. Like, it's really important stuff, but it's not really... it's not brand work.
Yeah, it almost, you say there it was kind of like diffuse or maybe even vague would be a word you could describe it. And that's not just for Brandy. I think that's for Cody as well. And honestly, if I'm thinking, it would probably go for most of the EVPs who also happen to be wrestlers.
Well,
because
I don't know what Cody does, because he doesn't do anything in this episode other than wrestle.
Well, I mean, there's 4 or 5 times you see Cody with, like, a clipboard where he's talking to someone, be it, like, a Sammy Guevara, a Darby Allin, whoever it may be, and he's talking to them generally about, like, their match. So it seems like he's agenting and, like, coaching and maybe producing a little bit. But, like, you know, squeeze your eyes and you'll see Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks doing and QT Marshall and, you know, like, Tony Khan. And there's, like, 20 people who feel like they've got, like, the headset and the clipboard and they're running the show.
And that's just too many cooks, because you imagine how confusing it would be being a wrestler and you're told one thing by, you know, Kenny Omega, and then Cody Rhodes comes along and says, you know, obviously totally different background, different school of thought, totally different, and he's telling you the completely opposite and like, no, don't do that, do this instead.
I mean, I'm sure most folks are sticking in their lane and all that, because they know that, you know, Young Bucks are obviously doing tag team stuff, Kenny is meant to be doing, you know, the women's stuff, da da da. But that being said, it still does feel like there is plenty of opportunity for perhaps there to be not a direct line to your line manager, it feels, if you're working there. But they're based in Jacksonville. They don't kind of, you know, talk much about it being the pandemic or otherwise, but it's worth bearing in mind that this reality show and all this is happening in the backdrop of probably one of the most stressful times for humans to be alive, yet alone to be running a wrestling show that somehow has a little bit of a crowd in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandy, let's just say right now, Brandy is sore looking a lot of the time. She looks absolutely sapped of energy.
Yeah.
She
looks
is
in pain.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
A lot of pain.
And I think, you know, I was quite impressed at how open she was about how difficult pregnancy was.
Mm.
And specifically because she's over the age of 35. She's, you know, kind of is experiencing not necessarily like problems, but she's having a problematic pregnancy, I guess.
Oh no, she listed her problems. Like she's going through a lot of the big symptoms of pregnancy, like acid reflux and, like, you know,
constant
sore
nausea,
back, nausea. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, she basically had the full list of potential symptoms you can get in pregnancy. She's got them all.
She's dealing with a lot. And Cody Rhodes as well, he has his own stuff to deal with, mainly the Rhodes family legacy. And they do, you know, mention WWE, they do mention Dusty Rhodes and his brother. And one thing I like about this is it doesn't feel like in this AEW reality show, unlike Total Divas or whatnot, it doesn't feel like someone's drawn names out of a hat about who's allowed to be filmed and who's on this show. There's a good, you know, there's a good mix of talent on camera and kind of to the side of the camera. But Cody, he doesn't wait long to drop a clanger. I went all in on AEW and chose to be the face of the brand.
Mm. chose to be the face of the brand.
Now, you and I were chatting. There's a couple of other people who might, I don't know.
Maybe.
Assume that they might be the face of the brand.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe the world champion at the time might have a thing to say about it. Chris Jericho, perhaps. Highest paid man in the company.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, Britt Baker probably had more of a claim to being the face of the brand than Cody Rhodes did.
Mm.
But they put like a poster of Cody there showing you him front and center.
Yeah.
He's not humble.
No.
But he's not braggadocious.
No, it's more like he is a very gifted person who has been told his entire life how gifted and special he is.
And he's dealing with the weight of it, guys. Yeah. You don't know how stressful it is.
It's kind of like, it's more of a burden for him than a joy.
Yeah, he's not missing, you know, you look at Dustin Rhodes and kind of go, a lot of the trials and tribulations and the arc of his career and his personal life was shaped by the lack of love it felt like he got from his father when he needed it at key points.
Hmm.
Cody is kind of like the opposite of that. Like,
yeah, I think he's had lots of love in his corner.
Yeah, no shortage. The boy who was, 10 years old watching Nitro live, getting a pat on the head from the head booker or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Rhodes is not lacking in self-confidence here.
Yeah.
Although he does seem to have his own struggles. He, similar to Brandy, looks like he's about to keel over and pass out, particularly on the to-camera bits.
Mm.
He's fucking sleepwalking.
Yeah.
You were saying that he looks like he's fucking drunk in some of them.
Well, there are certain moments in this episode I think he is drunk.
Gee, yeah, he's a bit red of cheek at points.
And there's some large glasses of wine being sipped on in the background and stuff like that.
And keep in mind, he's being executive and he is wrestling at a very fucking high level as well at this point in time. And he's also trying to do all these other things like the reality show, and he's doing his Go Big show and all that.
And they mentioned as well that they live in Atlanta, is it?
So yeah,
then they're flying to Florida twice a week. Fucking hell. Like, imagine that as well, being heavily pregnant.
And COVID as well.
COVID.
Height of COVID.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. And you're going from Atlanta to Florida, which was, notoriously and still is, like, a hotbed, you know? That's so scary. But yeah, Cody has to do things like be told that Lee Johnson and Julia Hart are going out now. This is really funny, because they're sitting there going, yeah, Cody, we're dating now. They're both, like, looking down at their shoes. And he's like, oh, that's cool, guys. Thanks for telling me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay, let's go. And it doesn't really demonstrate much. I think they're just looking for excuses to say that Cody is an executive and he has to deal with all sorts of problems.
It's like, that's a thing for HR, though, surely. Not like executive, I don't know, president.
Yeah, I know. It's an odd role for like Cody Rhodes.
I try to imagine, like, in WCW, like, someone telling Eric Bischoff, like, yeah, we were in a relationship. Or, like, yeah, it's just, it wouldn't happen.
What does Sammy Guevara and Tay Conti do now that Cody's gone? Who do they tell? No one knows.
Tell Chris Jericho instead. Imagine him giving a shit.
That's why they had to get the tattoos, so people would know, because Cody wasn't there to sell them. There's a couple of moments I was thinking were going to be coming that would be like, whoa! Time has not been too kind to this segment. And we only saw him for a brief second, but then be like, here's Jon Moxley. And he's like 3 stone heavier. And he's like, I'm hungover. And then it's like,
sorry, I'm very hungover.
Very hungover. And then he's like, yeah, I'm probably going to pass out and get sick any second now.
The exact quote
no, Joe.
I'm gonna throw up and pass out. In that order.
And it just cuts to Brandy being like, fuck. But it's kind of played as a whacka whacka because you cut to like Moxie doing cool shit in the
drinking
ring.
Drinking loads of beer and stuff.
But, I've watched that program quite religiously for the last year and a bit, and it still shocks me to see how he used to look, compared to the slim trim Jon Moxley of current 2022 fame. He's in a much better place, thank fuck.
Yeah, much happier.
Tony Khan is here as well. Tony is a little bit more confident on a reality show setting than he is at the announcing anything to do with wrestling in a wrestling ring setting, where he usually has young boy at his birthday party insists on taking the microphone. I want to thank everyone for coming to see the magician. But he seems like a legit executive here.
Yeah, he does. And he seems, it's nice seeing him compared to, like, Vince.
Yeah.
Because Vince, I feel they do actually have a lot of similarities. When Vince is being supportive, Tony Khan has that similar energy of just being, like, almost like your friend who you can bounce ideas off of, and he'll, like, support you and encourage you and stuff like that. And he's got none of that horrible manipulativeness that Vince has.
No, he does. Like, he seems like kind of vulnerable in some ways.
Yeah, maybe a little bit nervous even.
Like, there's a couple of times where he's talking talking to people, and then he kind of like just like sheepishly puts his hand on their shoulder, like looks right at the camera, and then takes it away because the person hasn't acknowledged it. You know, he is. It feels like he is kind of like learning how to be this boss. You know, and again, you want to talk about people with a lot on their plate. This lad's running a football and an American football team at the same time as doing this. So how his eyes aren't falling out of his head, I don't necessarily know.
It's all the money.
It's all that's it. I was very intrigued because we're setting this to the backdrop of Cody and his Anthony Ogogo feud, which, as you remember, was something else. And Cody's alluding to this big promo that he's going to be doing later on. I was shocked by Cody saying to camera, honestly, these were WWE talking points, it felt like. Because we saw like people like Jade and Anthony Ogogo, and Cody was like, what's this about? It's about making stars. And what are stars? They're people who sell tickets and people who actually draw ratings. Like, you're changing the channel, you see this person, you want to see them. Like, for me, that doesn't seem like an ethos I'd hear parroted back by like Kenny Omega or a Hangman Adam Page or whoever else is on top in AEW. That's a Vince McMahon. Like, stars at the airport.
Sports,
look at him.
Entertainment, yeah.
It is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I think, though, it's good that he tried to do a bit of that. That's why we got Jade Cargill and Anthony Ogogo and others on the show. It's not a bad idea.
No, it's good. I think it is always good for someone to be thinking about that in wrestling. It's just, the issue is when that's all that wrestling is about.
Yeah. I think something as well, which wrestling is definitely about, which is the toxic online fan base that can crop up now and then. I was wondering if they'd handle it with Brandy, because she seems so like genuinely miserable a lot of the time that you kind of have to bring it up. And she's like, yeah, I get a lot of shit online. People are like, is it nepotism that I have the job? And she's like, it's not. And I'm going to try and prove people wrong. She just looks sick to her back teeth of it.
Yeah, poor Brandy. I felt really bad for her.
Cody and Brandy don't have the energy I thought they would have. I don't know why. I thought they, maybe it's because they're both exhausted in what they're going through. But it is a little awkward between them sometimes.
In what way?
I don't know. Cody feels like he's thinking very carefully about everything he's saying. And Brandy has absolutely not got that issue at all. Brandy is fucking fantastic, by the way.
She's such a natural at this. She is born to be in a reality television show. Like, she is such the star of this. She's so funny.
Because she will just say like 5 or 6 things, and like 4 or 5 of them will make no sense. And then she'll just say something randomly hysterical.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I was saying to you, I think that if you were editing this and you wanted to do like the Brandy Rhodes is an asshole cut, you probably could whip that up with your reality editing. But it's fun watching her like on Shot of Brandy, where there's not many cuts and all the awkwardness is left in. And here, you know, we get to see a little bit more of the snappier. And she's very witty. Yeah,
she's so funny.
This.
They're talking about her giving birth.
And Cody's like, I want to be there no matter what.
I'll see your vagina. And she's like, that's strange. Like,
she says, ew.
Ew. And he's like, what? I've seen your vagina. And she's just like, it sounded strange seeing my vagina. And then she's like, look, I don't want you down there, okay? I want you holding my hand, looking at my face, like, you know, because I don't want you to be like, help, my wife's vagina just opened up like a Feed Me Seymour and now I can't have sex with her.
So Cody's big promo that he's preparing for, which gave me chills up my spine when he insisted on keeping it secret from everyone.
From her specifically, Chief Brand Officer and executive woman of color, like literally the most qualified person to talk to about a promo which is involving race.
I mean, honestly, I think the main person who should have talked to Cody Rhodes about this was anyone not with the last name Rhodes, because it just feels like Cody's got this twinkle in his eye. You know the twinkle you get when you realize you've solved racism after all these years. And if you extrapolate, I thought black man and a white man sharing a box of popcorn, I thought that's funky. And you extrapolated that through everything that happened in 2020 and 2021 and all the protests against, you know, racial inequality. And Cody Rhodes comes out with the fucking clangor of, I knew it was coming. Anthony Ogogo, oh God. And they were kind of making it that everyone was like nervous because it's like, what's Cody going to say? It's so personal. But when he saw everyone like waiting for him to come out on the headsets, everyone was just like,
Yeah.
The eyes on Tony Khan, he looked like he was about to have a panic attack.
Yeah, seriously. He looked so scared. And poor Brandy as well. She was so nervous about what he was going to say because he kept talking about how it's going to be so raw and like not everyone's going to like it and stuff. And it's just like, oh my God, she's heavily pregnant. Really going through it right now. Maybe don't put all this unnecessary stress on her, please.
And Brandy deals with this in the best way possible, which is by being Brandy Rhodes, because Cody's in the ring and he goes, Anthony Agogo, and it cuts back to Brandy on the headset. She just says to herself, is a ho-ho. And it would have been great if instead of him talking about his beautiful black princess who would embrace both identities and shun neither, it'd be really funny if instead he just came out and said, Anthony Agogo, you're a ho-ho. Throw the mic down. It would have gotten over way better.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Cody, his father's son, Rhodes, I think we can refer to him here. I think if Dusty Rhodes was alive in 2022 and was in his prime, he would have done this promo.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was a great moment. Actually, I forgot about this just before the promo where he and Brandy are sitting backstage and he's getting prepared for his big promo. And there's some lady like spraying him with like that special spray that makes
Rebel, not Reba.
Oh, is it Rebel?
Yeah, she does all the... She's, as well as being in Dr. Britt Baker's corner and ensuring the outcome of every single women's championship match ever, she's also the head makeup lady.
So that's Matt Hardy's wife?
No, you're thinking of Rebby. Sky, yeah.
It's so confusing. I know. Who is Rebel then? Do I know her?
I don't think you do. I mean, she would have been in TNA back in the day.
Right.
But
anyway, yeah. She's spraying Cody Rhodes and stuff and making him look all amazing. And she's like saying to him, you're amazing. You're groundbreaking. You're going to change the industry. You're so great. And then Brandy's just sitting there looking fucking miserable. And she's like, don't say that shit to him. This is why he acts a fool.
So Brandy watches this promo, right in the go position, and she kind of cringes and cries at the same time.
Yeah, she's definitely feeling awkward about it. I think she sees why it's not the best look, but also she's genuinely moved because I'm sure it is touching to see your partner in life say all that beautiful stuff about your upcoming child.
I think
it's sweet.
The most emotional thing about that is nothing that he says, it's the fact that he gets choked up while saying it, you know. And he's talking about, you know, emotional, if we somehow try and extrapolate away the racism chat from it, he's talking about him about to have a kid, and he's talking about honouring the legacy of his father because he's going to be the American dream for that awful match with Anthony Agogo. So, the heart was in the right place, but it was just, for the time that it happened, I just remember thinking, wrestling doesn't need to try and tackle this. But that's Cody Rhodes. He's going to pick the battles that everyone looks at and says, yeah, you should probably not bother doing that, actually.
I just think, the promo itself was a bit clumsy as a white person saying that stuff, but also it really was the worst place and time to say it,
with no one in the audience, really, kind of only a very small tiny crowd as well.
And just like, what's Anthony Ogogo got to do with that? Like, if anything, he should be saying it on this, on Roads to the Top, you know, like a little emotional plea to his audience.
And look, don't get me wrong, Cody, no one wants to hear about how shit the English are more than me, but there's ways of going about doing it that don't incite really complicated feelings in America, which is more or less what he did. You pointed out, and it happened even here on the sweetened audio of the reality show edit, as soon as he mentions the words like racism or any...
It wasn't apartheid, but it was like
segregation.
Segregation, that was it.
He talks about how Dusty wrestled in Atlanta and there was segregation.
And the crowd gets so awkward. They're all like, we don't want to think about this. This is a wrestling show.
No, thank you.
We want to think about nice, fun things.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Tony Khan sums it up best when he says, it was something to behold. It's time for Brandy Rhodes to go to the doctor because she's having a geriatric pregnancy, as she's been informed, and she has to go twice a week.
Yeah.
Not a particularly high energy time for either of these two. They are on the brink, it feels like.
Of course they are.
Which ensures the most awkward, hardest to watch segment in this entire episode is when Cody decides to celebrate Mother's Day for expectant mother Brandy, when two very, very tired people, it must be fucking 2 a.m, whatever, pretends to have a romantic dinner for a reality show camera.
He bakes her a cake. Is it a bundt cake?
It's a champagne slam cake, Joe.
Right, sorry, okay.
Which is the nicest way of saying Cody Rhodes made the plainest looking cake you ever did see.
Do you think it has champagne in there? Because I don't think Brandy would be able to eat it, would she?
It looked like it had a kind of like a sweetened glaze. So yeah. I think it would have been like okay for a pregnant lady to have a slice
of. But yeah, he's baking this cake and he's talking about how hard it is. And then she's talking as well about how her mum used to make the cake and she'd fuck it up sometimes and it's a really hard cake. And there's something about him as he's making this cake that seems a bit off. And then when Brandy arrives and he puts the cake on the table, you see what it is. And it's the massive, massive pint glass of wine on the table.
Yeah, not since Married at First Sight Australia have I seen an egregiously pouring glass of wine. You're not swirling that, Cody,
no
are you?
No way.
Okay, I've heard about eating for two, but he's drinking for the both of them and the future kid as well.
And this is the bit that I was convinced he was drunk, because not only does he have this big glass of wine, but he's by also the time like, he arrives...
I'm not ready to be attacked.
Yeah, he starts...
I'm a piece of shit, Peggy. Yeah. I'm going to get in the bin.
Genuinely, he starts like... He goes... He's all bright red in the face.
Oh, no. No,
and
Cody.
She's just like, she's just come back in from work as well. Like, she's really like tired and just like, you know, she doesn't really want to perform for a camera, I don't think. And there he is like, I'm so scared. I'm not ready to be a parent.
I made you a cake. I'm not ready.
My life's going to change. She's like, are you serious? You're talking about this right now on Mother's Day? I'm due any day now?
He's like, I got you a gift, and it's pink boxing gloves with Chief Brand Officer written on them.
Yep. And it seems so thoughtless. You're like, what the fuck, Cody? She's pregnant. She can't box. But then he's like, see, they're all telling you you're not going to be able to get back into wrestling.
So they have a little rope-a-dope.
They go into their gym, and he's printed out a picture of a bottle of wine and put it on a dummy. And then he's like motivating her, and he's all like, go on, you show them.
Punch that wine.
Show them who thinks you can't be a wrestler again after motherhood. And she's like really getting into it. And like, it obviously does lift her mood, because she comes in from work and she looks exhausted. He's saying he's not ready for parenthood, and she looks bummed out by that. And then she gets to take it out on something. It's nice. It's healthy.
It is.
Genuinely, it's like, that made me think a lot of Cody. It's like, yeah, he's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing, but he's trying.
Yeah, it felt like this was, even though it was the most artificial moment,
yeah.
It also, because they were both just so barely hanging in there, it felt real. It felt real, you know? It felt like kind of, you got a lot of genuine emotion, or like the relief of seeing them like finish up when she's like, you know, finishing like putting the gloves off, and it's like, oh, finally, we can fucking stop. You know, there's a twinkle in their eyes when they're doing it. Okay, let me tell you something. I'm a long-time wrestling fan, and I didn't realise that this was something that would affect me quite as strongly as it did. But if you casually shown me an unmasked version of a masked wrestler who I've only ever seen masked, just like boom like that, I nearly screamed when they were just doing talking heads, and all of a sudden Preston Vance, aka number 10 from the Dark Order, he was just fucking there with his fucking face and his head.
Yeah.
I screamed.
You
I
did,
was,
yeah.
I didn't want to see that.
Big baby.
Fucking, they're big babies. The babies deciding stupidly to show the masked powerhouse 10 unmasked. Mm. Ridiculous. I'm just saying, the only time you should be unmasked is when the Dark Order lose some terrible stipulation and Negative One is crying and it needs to be unmasked and you ruined it. You wasted it on Roads to the Top.
Wow.
I'm actively trying to forget what he looks like.
I'll never forget.
Because I said, oh, he looks like Cesaro. And you're like, no, he doesn't. So I'm really trying to convince myself he looks like Cesaro. So when he does get unmasked, I'll be shocked and surprised.
No, because you thought he looked like Cesaro. So that just means that when you see him again, you'll be like, oh, yeah.
This is Brandy's last show. And she is convinced that someone is going to take her spot. Although I would think it is a bit strange for her to think that as Chief Brand Officer and someone who's like not actively wrestling, never at any point in AEW other than right before she left, was she actually week to week actively wrestling? So I think it is kind of a strange thing to think that someone's going to come in and take her spot somehow.
But does she mean as Chief Brand Officer, maybe?
But, like, no one's taking, like... Look, I'll tell you what. Do you think they're going to hire a new Chief Brand Officer to replace Brandy now that she's gone? Do you think that they're going to hire another Executive Vice President in charge of Cody Rhodes now that
is
gone?
I think they will get another Chief Brand Officer, yeah.
But, like, whatever Cody's EVP role is like...
No, I don't think they're replacing him. I don't think he ever worried about being replaced.
I think I should probably explain it. I feel like maybe I'm coming off as being, like, very nonchalant about the EVPs, because I know they all do important jobs and all that, even if it's quite separate. But I heard in an interview recently, Jericho was like, they offered me to be an Executive Vice President. You know, like, it was just, if you were a top guy and you were signing at the start, you were going to be made. It's like being an executive producer on a movie if you finance it, kind of thing. So I feel that those roles are what you make of them. Those roles weren't to be filled. Those roles were given and then kind of filled out, if anything. But one thing they do very smartly in this is that they feature two people who I think are absolute stars of now and the future, Jade Cargill and Ricky Starks. And these are two very, very handsome, beautiful, well-spoken individuals. But Ricky Starks is not full of piss and vinegar as we normally know him, Joe.
No, he's broken his neck.
I think it's just a fracture.
Oh, it's fracture. Okay, yeah.
They showed when it happened. He got like suplexed by Adam Page and he just landed kind of funny. It was crazy seeing him like nervous and just completely, you know, no energy or whatever. As Cody Rhodes eloquently says, a broken neck in wrestling is kind of tricky. You think so, Cody? Yeah. Now, there's an issue between Jade Cargill and Red Velvet, Joe, that has been created for tonight's episode of Rhodes to the Chop.
So there was some moment where Velvet had to slap Jade and then Jade had to slap her back. And apparently Jade slapped Velvet too hard and left a handprint. And Brandy's got to deal with this because she's Chief Brand Officer.
Exactly. Chief Brandy Officer Brand Rhodes has got to figure out what's going on here. Mm. They showed the clip. Honestly, Red Velvet's slap sounded louder than Jade Cargill's slap.
Yeah.
And they bring in Jade. And there's something really funny about Jade Cargill wearing her like mirror panel gear, but also like a backpack.
Yeah, it's a huge backpack as well. It's like a delivery one. It's huge.
And Jade is really, really good because this is obviously just, you know, something that they've whipped up together for the reality show.
Do you reckon?
I don't know. I think maybe what comes later really felt like it was whipped up for this. But maybe the initial seed of it was true. But Jade handles herself like such a star. And when she's confronted about this, she goes, look, Brandy, Red's just going to need to get used to working with women of my size with hands of my caliber.
That would make a great promo.
Hands of my caliber.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's so good. She can't help but be like a fucking megastar.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything she says and does. Brandy has got parents visiting.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to get a read on her mom because Brandy kind of dropped a clanger or two earlier where she was like, here's some childhood trauma. I was never allowed to cry.
Yeah, when she sees Cody do the Agogo promo when she cries and she's like, I never cry because as a kid I was literally told off for crying. I was told no emotion, do not cry. She talks about how as a kid she would like bite her bottom lip and make herself bleed. Jesus, so that she wouldn't cry because she wouldn't want to seem weak. That's fucking rough. That's really not healthy or kind for a child. So then, yeah, to see her parents, it's kind of like, eee.
So her mom, I think they had a bit of a rocky relationship because Brandy was a figure skater back when she was growing up in Michigan. And
so her mom was kind of like a stage mom.
Yeah, so kind of, the only detail she goes into is that at one point she threatened to shoot a judge. Which makes me think, okay, yeah, the mom is a force of nature to be reckoned with. But she's so like Brandy, like you can see like where the fucking, where the quick wit and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
very funny.
Because they're just firing bombs at each other. And the dad just sat in the back and is like,
full AEW.
Yeah, Nightmare Factory t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like,
having a great time.
My son-in-law's Cody Rhodes. Yay. We've got a Minnie Mouse-themed baby shower with what appears to be the greatest villain in the history of reality TV.
Oh no, she's awful!
Cody Rhodes' sister, whose name I forgot, so I've just called her Karen Rhodes here.
She's called Teal.
She's fucking horrible.
She's literally the worst. She's so evil. I hate her so much. I literally hate her more than Hulk Hogan now. Like, I really hate her.
I remember a long, long time ago, we reviewed another wrestling reality show on this Patreon, which was Holy Foley.
Oh, God.
I remember like Foley's wife, Colette, had basically decided, I'm going to play like the most vampish, over-the-top, like evil witch as of a character to be the kind of the antagonist for the show that's needed. But I don't think that's the case with Teal Rhodes. She is just
horrible. Cody talks about how in school his sister would like the first day of school he saw her like slamming a girl against a locker. And
he said
like,
she's a gangster.
Yeah, and apparently she was like, I will fucking kill you, bitch. And that was like his first experience being at school with his sister. And she's really, really, really scary. And Brandy's like, yeah, I never really got on with Cody's family, to be honest. That's kind of, it's hard for me.
And the sister is the one I've gotten on with the least.
Yep. Apparently when Brandy first debuted under the name Brandi Rhodes, she got a 10-page text from Tail saying...
You didn't ask permission
for the Rhodes name. It's disrespectful. You don't deserve it. You've not earned it. Who are you to come into our family and do this, that, and the other?
Not that long after Dusty had passed.
Mm-hmm.
And also as well, it's very, very clear and obvious that like Brandi and Cody and Dusty had all given... They had all talked about this. The blessing
literally
had been given.
Literally nothing to do with her. Who the fuck is she? Like, she's got the name. She's not a wrestler. She's not even in the business. Who the fuck is she to talk about this? It's nothing to do with her.
I always thought the idea of a baby shower, because there is a nice bar that opened up not that far from where we live, and the main thing it seems to do is have baby showers. And you look in now and then while going away to shops, you kind of go, oh, baby showers. It feels like it's at least an attempt to make the home stretch, you know, a little bit more pleasant for the mother-to-be. You know, get her some stuff that she needs, loosen things up, have a nice, you know, chat with friends and family, make some arrangements. And Brandy's pretty much on her own making small talk this whole time.
Yep.
Because Cody Rhodes is too scared of his sister and he's in the corner doing Mr. Perfect shots.
Yep.
And Joe, let the folks know at home if they've forgotten from this very podcast what a Mr. Perfect shot is.
When you take a shot of whiskey and you gargle it.
What a man. What a real man, huh?
Gross.
You know, I feel like he much more proved he's a man there than by protecting his pregnant wife from all the horrible people. She's got Chelsea Green in her corner and no one else, folks.
It's like they're stuck on two different tables, and all of the people on Cody's table are all like, you know, asking him questions about himself.
And he's like, I'm not going to take paternity because I'm a
man. I'm a man, blah, blah, blah. And they're all being like quite nice to him and asking him questions about stuff.
I also can just say as well, this whole, oh, I'm a man, I'm not taking paternity. Fuck off.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Absolute bullshit. Adam Page did it at the height of his run. He took time off.
Peak of manliness.
Exactly.
He's a fucking cowboy.
Instead, we got this fucking man over here who's like one Mr. Perfect shot away from a nervous breakdown. Be like, yep, I'm going to be just like my dad. Maybe I'm lucky and I'll get there just as I finish my match.
Mm.
Yeah, great. Cool. Worked out well for your brother, didn't it? Like, mm-hmm. Fuck's sake.
So, yeah, they're on these separate tables and everyone's asking Cody about like that. Basically, they're going to have this like newborn sleep care assistant or something, which is basically like for high earning professionals, a person comes in and basically stays up with your kid and makes sure that they like get into a healthy sleep routine that merges nicely with your working lifestyle, so you're not up in the middle of the night.
It's kind of like a high end nanny that's like, you know,
for nighttime, yeah, specifically,
because I kind of feel like Brandy's almost anticipating some postpartum depression, some postnatal depression, which she does have that,
and
yeah,
she wants to get back to wrestling,
yeah.
And also, like, I think anyone who is at that point in their career, it's at some point it's like it's doing best for you and it's also doing what's best for your baby. You've got to kind of weigh out that decision, haven't you? Anyway, but everyone's really snooty about it and judgmental, and they're all saying to Cody like, yeah, but it's not your idea, it's Brandy's, isn't it? He's like, yeah, it's Brandy's idea. And then Brandy's on her own on the table and it's just like 10 women telling her how to be pregnant, how to give birth, how to be a parent. You're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong. Oh, you're doing that, are you? That's wrong. Poor Brandy, in pain, on her own, supposed to be her baby shower, and all she is getting is grief from all sides.
I think the two of the most egregious parts of that were, I think it was the costume designer, who, by the way...
Sandra Gray from WWE.
No wonder, we complained the first three AEW pay-per-views, everyone's trousers were hanging down by their backsides.
They're like, quit, we need Sandra.
Yeah, get her in here. But she's like, said something really withering to Brandy, where she's like, you know, oh, you want to wrestle again? She's like, yeah, I really want to get back. I want to get my body back. I want to, you know, start wrestling. I want to be women's champion. And she just goes, ah, yeah, you say that now, but like, you know, once you've had the kids, you won't think that anymore. And then Jade Cargill, who just by sheer force of presence and being this large, intimidating Amazon, she just goes, nah, you're going to have two kids, though.
And Brandy's like, no, you have one kid.
No, but you're going to have 2 kids, though. And like, if Jade Cargill says that, I hate to admit it, like, she's probably going to have a second kid now out of like
pressure
and embarrassment, because Jade Cargill has deemed it so. But Jade, you know, I know you only found out on our most recent AEW pay-per-view review.
But she's a mum.
Jade's a mum, and I think that was a nice kind of twist, I guess, to have her turn to camera and be like, look, you think it's going to be easy, you know, being a mom. And it's like, it's going to fuck your life up in ways you don't understand.
I see where people are coming from when they say stuff like that. But I wish people would realize how
it's not useful,
how actually unhelpful it is. Like, it's one thing to say that at the start of a pregnancy, I think, when, you know, maybe things, you haven't thought about it yet. But Brandy's like 9 months pregnant at this point. She's thought about it. She knows how hard it is. I really don't think she needs you guys reminding her about that fact.
Yeah.
And I think
because everyone has those doubts who's going through that anyway, and all you're doing is just like making those voices in your head way louder.
You know? And I think, you know, that I'm not saying like that's the reason for her postpartum depression, but I certainly don't think that stuff helps.
No.
It's like it just puts doubt in your brain.
Yeah, I don't think it's a very... I don't know if there's such a thing as toxic maternity advice, but...
Yeah, definitely there is.
Yeah, if you at home are thinking about having a baby shower, don't go with the Minnie Mouse theme. It seems like bad vibes all around. To round us off on this fabulous episode of Road to the Top, Brandy has got a project that she's been working on, and I fucking fist pumped the air when I heard this, where she's like, well, it's something I've been working on for a while, I'm very passionate about, I'm going to be making my own wine. I'm like, fuck yes! 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 Fuck the Bellas, they don't get the market in on this.
It's I love it, but...
Brandy wine!
She's pregnant.
She can't... I mean, Joe, the Bellas have proven... that if anything, that should mean she should definitely have a glass of wine to destroy the stigma.
One glass of wine.
Then Nikki Bella comes in pregnant and be like, I'm sorry, you somehow upset seeing a pregnant lady drink a glass of wine? Is that not, am I cancelled now, apparently? Is that it? But I really want, I know, look, Brandy, all I gotta say is, if you just put it in a cask for a little bit, you would have Brandy. You know, you could have Brandy.
Yeah.
Brandy.
I don't think she drinks Brandy, though.
Brandy likes wine, so.
That's wine. Rosé, specifically. But I would genuinely be really excited about a Brandy Rhodes wine.
Yes!
Because she, you know, as we know from a shot of Brandy, she likes her alcohol. And she likes
her
wine.
Her t-shirt collection says as
yeah.
much.
Yeah, and I actually would like to drink a wine knowing that someone's, like, been able to taste it and being able to choose the wine that they like for their own reasons. And instead, we have her using this as kind of, like...
a team-building exercise.
Yeah.
This was the height of reality, artifice and bullshit, but I absolutely love this because Brandy's like, Brandy, who can't hide the smile on her face that she's doing a wine tasting, and
she's like
she's
not,
making
though.
A wine.
She's
you know.
Just there.
She gets to swirl it in her mouth a bit, I guess.
Just but smell it.
Jade Cargill drinking wine, shooting daggers at Red Velvet, and then sipping and being like... I don't know, though. I think this wine tastes kind of weak.
And then Red Velvet's like, I don't know. I think this wine is a bit of a slap in the face.
It's fucking brilliant. I want a wine tasting to happen in wrestling, okay? And I want also as well, I want a Survivor Series match between the Bellas and Brandy, a vineyard match of some sort, maybe.
Mm.
Who's going to determine the ultimate wine? Because the Bellas have a red, and Brandy seems like it's a rosé. And I don't know why, but my mind is telling me that Brandy's rosé will probably be quite sweet.
Yeah, I imagine so.
And it comes to some... You get it in juice boxes with a little straw as well,
oh,
if you want to.
She's a classy lady. Come on a bottle.
I think it's been a little bit of a long time since we've seen a shot of Brandy, perhaps. I don't know. I think... this was everything I wanted it to be, and also more besides. This actually provided a glimpse into the chaotic but really exciting looking behind the scenes of AEW during a really pivotal time.
Mm.
And I think anytime you're watching a wrestling documentary or a reality show, it's always fun to see stuff in the background. But this was just like, I realized, other than being the elite, I rarely see the machinations of the backstage in AEW. And I thought Cody came off... you know, roughly as I thought he would, but this was really about Brandy. I thought, despite the fact that Brandy was in a horrible place, and I'm sure some people watch this and think not very much of her, I found myself even more endeared to Brandy Rhodes.
Me too. I already loved Brandy Rhodes.
Yeah.
Like, as a person, I just think she's great. And this made me like her so much more. I really feel for her. She's got such a hard... it's like people are horrible to her and she doesn't deserve it. And it's like, it's sad.
But she
always
feels like she has an impossible dream and an impossible goal. I don't think Brandy, like, and I love Brandy, but I don't think she's ever going to be a women's world champion or she's going to be a high profile wrestler.
No.
And I feel like it's sad. And I feel like
but
no one
like,
will
it's
ever.
It's sad as well that like, this, it feels like there's a lot of people around her saying that to her.
I know, yeah.
And it's just like.
You don't, you know what, all the people on the internet don't have to form like a hate circle to will it into existence because it's not going to happen.
The thing is, it's not just the fans. It's the fact that this is happening in her real life as well. It's coming from Cody's family and it's coming from her own family. And that's just really sad and isolating. I just, honestly, my main takeaway was I just want to go and meet Brandy and give her a big hug and just tell her, you know, You know, like that AEW heels thing.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of really down on. It makes me think, well, maybe she just wanted to make some friends and have a bit of a support group. Because she doesn't really have that.
Yeah.
And like, bless Cody, because like, I didn't think much of Cody.
He came off better than you thought.
He came off actually quite well. He came off as
affable like, himbo.
Yeah, like an idiot himbo. He doesn't really know what he's doing and he's really clumsy about it. But he is... genuinely, he's got his best intentions at heart and he's trying.
Yeah, I don't think he's got a mean bone in him.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it ever occurred to him that that Anthony Ogogo promo could be anything but inspiring.
And, you know, I've read the interview with him where he talked about how upset he was about how badly it went. He was like, it's the worst thing I've ever done in wrestling. And he's like, the thing I feel most bad about is I think that I really hurt his career as well. You know, because it was such a fucking howler of an angle and it went down so badly. And
then kudos to him for actually accepting and acknowledging that, because I think he is right.
Does this make you more invested in the loss of Cody and Brandi Rhodes?
Yeah,
though?
It does, because I want this show to continue. And I'm worried that if they don't get hired by a big enough company, that this show won't continue. And I want it to.
The question, though, is that knowing what you know now, I guess a little bit more about these people, and they've been filled out a little bit more. I know it's a reality show and it's a narrative that the company and the people wanted you to buy or whatnot. But having seen this, does that make you fearful or excited about a potential, as of yet unknown, you know, parachuting into WWE? Do you think Cody and Brandi could find themselves alongside the It couple, the Grit couple, you know, Becky and Seth, all these big power couples in WWE? Do you think that they could slot in there, or would they be another Corey and Carmella, which is, you know, we'll pop up some YouTube videos and give them a match or two on the mid-card? But I don't know. Does this make you worried about where they could end up?
I was already worried about where they could end up.
I feel like I watched this and I think in spite of all the issues I had, I still feel like AEW was the place for them, because for both of them, they needed a little bit of a sandbox. And I don't know if either of them are going to particularly thrive in that much more constrained environment.
For me, it's the issue of being a big fish in a small pond. Mm. And right now, AEW is a small enough pond. You know, it's funny saying that because it's massive.
Yeah, but like it's full of a lot of very, 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 very big fishes as well.
Yeah, but they were like, you know, they were very senior in that company and they were respected in their own way. And in WWE, they're never going to be seen.
And they're outsiders now, aren't they?
And they're outsiders now. And I think they were kind of outsiders to begin with, but they are definite outsiders now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's why I'm excited about this, is because if we continue doing this, and let us know in the comments below how you enjoyed Roads to the Top, if you want us to continue it. But I like the idea of us continuing this series as maybe the news about Cody Rhodes either advances or it stalls, I guess, and we can kind of figure out what's going to be the future of this power couple in the world of wrestling. Because I'm not going to lie, folks, I had a lot of fun watching Roads to the Top.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if it's quite the heights of Total Bellas yet, because I'm not as invested in these folks as I would have been in John Cena and Bryan Danielson and Brie and Nikki Bella.
I think it has the potential to be better because Brandi is funnier.
And I'm really excited. I mean, if Jade Cargill and Ricky Starks are going to be my boys, they're going to be my featured characters, I'm happy with that. Yes,
yeah,
please.
That'd be really cool.
Well, what did you think of this episode of Roads to the Top? Thoughts and impressions on Cody and Brandi? Where do you think they are going to end up? Will they be executives in Titan Towers?
No.
Or are we talking about a short run into WrestleMania? Or are we going to head back to AEW or Ring of Honor? Who knows? I want to see some rank speculation, please, in the comments below. Little side note, big shout out to everyone who dropped their thoughts in on the AEW Revolution pay-per-view. We had loads of like really long-form discussions and comments there. Really, really great. I loved reviewing the show. I think you did as well. And we're really excited to bring you hopefully more AEW content in the form of a reality show. Until next time, it's going to be a goodbye from me, Cowboy Kevin.
And a goodbye from me, Joe.
We'll see you next time on Roads to the Top.
See ya.